Blog Talk Radio.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Good afternoon, gang. Welcome to this edition of the Chris Finland Podcast. The date is September 8th, the time, 12:30 in the afternoon. And here in New England, we're in a state of mourning. Our beloved New England Patriots took the gridiron last night after banner number 5 was unveiled, and we suffered a stunning loss last evening to the Kansas City Chiefs, which, of course, is a ship steered by none other than Andy Reid and game manager Alex Smith. We'll get into the game a little bit later, but today, on a very tight schedule, as promised, I have an interview with a Patriots insider, a man who works day in and day out with the team, of members of all echelons of the team, from ownership to the coaching group to the players. He's there like a fly on the wall. His name is, let's just call him Mr. Tommy P. That will be his code name, Tommy P. He will be joining us in 1 minute to tell us all kinds of Patriots insiders, insider questions. He'll answer any questions you may have. Also joining me today as my co-host, local stand-up comedian, his name is Rick Wish. Rick, are you there with me, Mr. Wish?
I sure am, Chris. How are you?
Good, buddy. It's good to see you again. We haven't been, I haven't talked to you since we were out on the circuit a few years back, sharing our jokes with the people. How are you today, buddy? What's up, man? Are you ready to talk Patriots?
Yes, I am. I mean, as far as the game last night, it looked like a little rust on Tom Brady. But like, need some WD-40.
No, I got to say something. Now, this is going to be funny. Like, you know, you're a funny guy and everything. You know, Rick Wish, great guy. You get a ton of impressions, witty guy. But the first thing you talked to me about today is you're upset about the costs that would be incurred with calling into the podcast today. And I just think that's very funny. I think that's very funny.
Well,
I don't want
I'm
you to take this the wrong way, but what is that call? Cost you like maybe 50 cents?
Well, I'm not cheap, I'm saying, but you said, Chris, that I was going to call you, and we had it, and I call you, and it says New York. And I'm thinking that you live in a different, you live in, like, Massachusetts, so why does it cost so much?
I live in Brooklyn, Boychuk. But anyways, I want to thank you. Mazel, my friend. Thank you for joining me today. You are a funny man, and that's why you're here. And I want you to
shalom,
interview.
My brother.
Yeah, shalom. Well, then, anyways, without any further ado, we should. Wojciech, what are we doing here? I mean, thank God the game is not on Saturday.
We should be.
Anyways, I want to bring in now a man whose code name, I just thought of it on the fly. It came to me in a whim. Joining us on the telephone now is my man, codenamed Tommy P. I think that's an appropriate code name. Tommy P. is a man who travels with the team. He works with the team day in and day out, and he has seen them all in action behind the scenes. He knows what they're really like, and he is joining us today for a very, very rare glimpse, as they say, inside the juggernaut that is the New England Patriots. Tommy P., thank you for joining me on the podcast today.
What's up, Chris? Thanks for having me.
I want to introduce you as well to my Hasidic co-host, Mr. Rick Wish, local comedian and impressionist and fellow Pats fan.
Nice. Hello, what's Tommy. Up, Rick?
How are you doing,
what's up, Rick?
So yeah, I don't want to reveal too much about your role because, as we know, Bill Belichick, he thrives on secrecy. And those who don't follow suit are out of town. So we need our mole, our insider, to remain employed. So we won't talk too much about what you do. but you do certainly see them behind the scenes, correct? And you were there for last night's banner raising, and then you were there in mourning, I imagine, for the loss. So let's talk first about the good news. You know, they always say there's good news and then there's bad news. We'll talk about the good news. What was the mood like behind the scenes? Not what we saw on TV, but behind the scenes leading up to the raising of banner number 5.
Well, you know, behind the scenes is everything you would imagine it to be, pure excitement from the ground crew to, you know, administration to everyone. It's just excitement, you know, getting ready to start the season off, opening up nationally televised, you know, raising the banner. It was a lot of excitement, and it was a lot of, you know, people doing, you know, playing their, doing their job, as Bill Belichick would say, a lot of, you know, small little details that went into, you know, making, you know, last night possible.
So did you see Jonathan Kraft so excited he was slapping men in the ass?
I did not see that part. I wasn't there for Jonathan Kraft. I was at another part of the stadium, but I definitely did not see that part.
But, so they raised the banner, and behind the scenes, it's a well-oiled machine. Now, what did you see from
Say it again, Chris. You're like breaking up really, really bad.
Oh, it's breaking.
He's in New York.
Hello? I'm calling from the studio in New York. So behind the scenes, were the players too relaxed? Were they too comfortable? Many people are accusing the Patriots of taking the Chiefs lightly.
I would definitely, you know, disagree with that. You know, just being there every day, you know, being there for practices as well. You know, just being around the stadium and everything. I want to get that out there. Like, the Patriots do not take anything lightly. We do not, you know, take the Chiefs lightly. We don't take anyone lightly. And that's just the way it is. You know, anything can happen in a football game, as you can see with Amendola, you know, getting hurt, et cetera, Hightower getting a little knocked up. So, I mean, they know exactly what they're doing, and they practice day in, day out. They're the first people there, the players I'm talking about, the players are the first people at the stadium and the last people to leave. So the fact that people say, oh, they took the Chiefs too lightly, that honestly wasn't the case. I think more or less it just showed, you know, what needs to be improved on and what needs to be worked on. And, you know, going forward, I'm not too worried about it. And I'm sure, you know, fellow New Englanders aren't worried about it as well. But, I mean, I think we'll be all right. Honestly, I see them every single day working hard. They definitely don't take any days off. It's 24/7, you know, football. As soon as you start,
no days off. And no one chanted with them. You know, like no one at the parade agreed that they should be, that even they in the parade should have no days off. We want the Patriots to have no days off. Yeah, but we need days off. I need a day off. If I didn't have a day off, I couldn't podcast. You know.
Definitely. But you know what? I think that just goes to, you know, Bill Belichick, meaning that, you know, you guys are a true professional, you know, in the organization, and we need to, you know, live, eat, sleep, die football. That's what we do. That's what they do, actually. So, I mean, I think that was the message behind that. And like I said, you know, I'm sure, you know, today Bill Belichick down at Gillette is probably dissecting everything that went wrong. And, you know, going forward, I'm really not too worried about it. It was just a good wake-up call to see what we needed to work on.
I imagine that you wouldn't want to be in front of Bill Belichick today after that loss. Now, are you exposed at all to the great Belichick? I know you work day in and day out with the team.
Well, you know what? You'd be surprised. You know, Gillette is so huge, you know, in the underbelly, underneath the stands and everything. It's huge. So, you know, I haven't run into Belichick this year yet. But I have seen Brady.
Is that right?
Brady. Oh, yeah. Brady, you know what? Seeing him on TV doesn't do him justice. The guy is a freaking giant. He's a
monster. You say that he's a god?
Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah. That's Tom Brady. He's the GOAT.
Hey, Tommy P.
Yo,
go
what's
ahead,
up,
Rick Wish.
Hey, Tom, you notice like Belichick and Yoda could be the same people. You never seen them at the same time. I'm just saying. Yoda, because he's a wise man.
I wouldn't put it past him. He's a man of many, many faces.
Let me ask you this. Now, you know, a long time the Patriots have been accused of cheating and stuff like that, you know, deflating footballs, taping other people's practices.
Right.
You know, certainly a tremendous amount of success have occurred even during the time we were accused of cheating. Do you think that there is any way that this team is cheating? Do you still think that Bill even has to cheat at this point? Is there cheating at all going on, do you think?
Well, you know, when I started working there, it's like I don't understand, you know, what would be considered cheating there. I mean, once you, you know, go to the stadium and you see what actually goes on, first things first, there's security and there's officials everywhere, especially on game day. Like, there's no way you're going to sneak any kind of, you know, contraband if you're a player, whether that be what is it from back in the day when guys were using, like, tape on their gloves and stuff like that.
Lawrence Taylor would smuggle an eight ball onto the field and somehow snort it.
Tommy, I think he was stealing signs. I'm not sure.
Yep, did he have an Apple Watch? Signs. He might have worn an Apple Watch. No.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. You know, so I want to know, is there anything, like, have you seen any players, you know, interacting with the players behind the scenes? Or you can be honest with me.
Oh, yeah.
Are any of them kind of arrogant douchebags, or, like, are they good guys? Can you point out a few bad good guys?
Well, I haven't ran into any bad guys, honestly. You know, the main person I did run into was Brady. That took the cake. And you know what? He's definitely, like, a very down-to-earth, humble guy, like, even if he doesn't recognize you, he'll be walking through the tunnels underground, under the stadium, actually. And if he doesn't recognize you, he's definitely, you know, not above to say hi. You know, he'll
walk by,
he'll shake your hand, say hi, hey, how you doing? He's definitely, you know, that guy that walks around and, you know, makes sure everyone's acknowledged. He, like I said, he understands that everyone has a part, everyone has a role, and whether it be, you know, something as small as the concession people, or even the security people or whatever, he understands that everyone came together to make it possible. And like I said,
Tom,
Brady is not above that.
He's so charming. He is such a charmer.
He is. If you were to meet Tom Brady in person, he's definitely, you know, a very respectable, likable guy.
I'm getting hard.
He'll be president in a couple of years.
That's what I was just about to say. There's a man, and that's what I would say right there, Tommy P., that Tom Brady is presidential timber.
Well, you
congressman
know
first.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't have to even take. You know, he'll go straight to the top. Rick Wish.
He'll skip over that. I got you. I'm sorry. Yeah,
he'll,
I apologize.
He'll have no problem in New England, but you know he might run into a little bit of problems in New York and everywhere else we've been, you know, crapping off for the last 15 years.
It's great to be
congressman first.
Oh, maybe he'll have to start. So it's great to be a Patriots fan. I don't know if you remember how terrible it was, you know, 20 years ago to be a Pats fan when they were the laughingstock of the league. They really have come a long way, and a lot of that is attributed to Mr. Kraft and his great business acumen. Have you had much interaction with Mr. Kraft? I remember interviewing him on my show years ago. Really classy guy. Very, very nice man.
Mr. Kraft, he has so much going on. Like he's rarely ever in the building, if that makes sense. He's always, you know, running around doing, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. It's not just, you know, the Patriots that, you know, he's overseeing. He actually has, you know, a lot more things going for himself than I thought.
When he's not in the building, it's just that Jonathan Kraft playing a bunch of grab ass, huh?
I'm staying away from that one. Like I said, I don't know about that.
Hey, Kraft. Hey, Tommy, does Kraft look like Moses or what? I'm telling you, the guy's hair is unbelievable. He looks like Moses.
Oh, yeah.
You're hot to see.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. More like Moses.
Well,
like
they
Jesus,
are the chosen people, certainly the Kraft
he's the
family.
Guy.
The Kraft family is the chosen people. They have been accused of being a little tight with the purse strings when paying for salaries. You know, they don't always
let's pay Butler.
Now, how about Butler behind the scenes? They're worried that he might play with a chip on his shoulder, like an attitude. Has there been any indication on your behalf that Malcolm Butler has any sort of attitude this year?
From what I've seen, personally, being there, you know, when they had practices, et cetera, I'll tell you what, he treats himself, you know, as a true professional as well. He goes out there, he does what he has to do. He takes criticism well. And like I said, I haven't noticed any indication of him, you know, feeling in some kind of way dejected about being part of, you know, the organization, et cetera. But, I mean, to my knowledge, you know, he looks all right. He feels fine. I'm sure, you know, at the end of this year, he'll eventually want to get paid what he's, you know, feel like he's worth. But as of right now, he's carrying himself like a true professional. And that's one thing I could definitely say about, you know, the organization is that everyone in there carries themselves as a true professional. And at the end of the day, that's, you know, that means a lot. That means a lot.
Well, this is like, you know, I thought this would be one of those uncensored, unscripted, unauthorized exposés, but even you are towing the Belichick line in this interview, Tommy P, the anonymous Patriots
inside
line.
We're on Cincinnati.
We're on the Cincinnati. That's right.
That's the one thing, though. That's the one thing with, you know, Belichick. What you see is what you get. There's no, you know, hidden agenda. There's no fake people around. Everyone realizes that, you know, whether it be, you know, the players, the administration, everyone is on board to win a championship. And that's the mindset, is to be a championship team every single year, day in and day out. And that's just the mindset. And honestly,
is there anything,
like I said, if they're...
Yeah, go ahead.
Well,
sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, honestly, I've seen it already, but if you don't have that mindset and you don't have that work ethic, et cetera, and it's not even just players. It's, you know, people that actually work for Gillette and, you know, keep the stadium running.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you know,
it's a true group effort over there, team effort. That's
very,
what they always talk
so.
About in Patriot land.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Rick Wish, you have a rare opportunity now to speak with a Patriots insider behind the scenes, Tommy P. That's his code name. Is there anything that you've always wanted to ask a fly on the wall in Foxborough?
You ever seen
Rick
those two at the same time?
What was it?
Yeah,
Tommy,
I don't
I'll
know.
Prove it to you. Watch.
Yeah.
Here's a Yoda impression, okay?
All right.
Ready?
An impression of Yoda.
You must use the Force, my son. There will be one.
Tommy, hey, quick
good.
Question for you. Tommy,
did
Brady look a little rusty? I think he needs a little bit of WD-40 on his body. I don't know. He looked a little rusty to me.
Maybe he needs a volunteer to rub it on him.
Well, you know, well, being there in person and, you know, watching it yesterday, I mean, I definitely do believe that, you know, Brady did look, you know, I thought he did all right. You know, he could have definitely
done. I mean, he's older now.
Yeah, very true. But I mean,
I saw a stat today that the Patriots, every season in the Belichick era, they started out 0-1. They have won the Super Bowl.
Oh, no way. Is that confirmed?
It's a real stat.
Those are good stats. We always lose one.
So wait a minute. Did they lose the first game last year? I don't remember who it was.
They've won 5 Super Bowls. And of those,
right.
You know, 3 of those 5, they started out the season 0-1. Now, I don't even remember many losses, to be frank with you. The only losses I remember involve some hick retard named Eli Manning.
he's like our daddy. Who's your daddy? It's Eli Manning.
Nah,
it's Eli and Tom Coughlin.
Coughlin.
Yeah, Tommy
Coughlin.
C. Tommy P says
Tommy
it's Tommy C. Who can beat Tommy B? You know,
is there
anything? Is there anything that you are like you could say that like truly shocked you? You know, that from your time with the Patriots, is there anything that that you were taken aback by?
Well, my first day. I mean, like I said, I didn't see the Patriots on my first day, but the main thing that really, like, took me aback, et cetera, honestly, was probably Gillette itself. Many people don't get to see, you know, underneath and, like, you know, the locker rooms. They don't get to see, you know, the real underbelly of the stadium. And that in itself was definitely, you know, eye-opening. It's huge. And there's so much, you know, history. I don't know if you guys have ever, you know, walked through Patriot Place, but it's just amazing being there. And, you know, you get to see they have tons of old-school memorabilia, you know, old-school signed jerseys. They have the trophies just there. Just seeing the trophies in person, like literally right there where I could touch it. It's pretty cool. That was, like, the biggest, you know, opener for me.
There's Gillette, a trophy case, like at Springfield Elementary, the Puma Pride?
You have to go to, what's it called, the museum over
the
at Patriot Place. Yes, yes. They have. I'm telling you, if you've never gone to Patriot Place, you know, just to hang out or whatever, if you go there for the first time, you're going to love it. It's a lot more than just football. They have a lot more stuff going on.
I got a haircut
there.
That was
probably the biggest thing.
No, Rick, you got a haircut there?
I got a haircut. They were doing blades. They were doing Gillette was there. I got a free haircut. It was beautiful.
They gave you a free haircut?
At Gillette, yeah. Free haircut. And it's a blade.
Did you tip anyone?
I tipped the hairdresser.
Did you leave a tip?
I did.
And I'll tell you one more thing, Chris. You remember when people were talking about, we're afraid that, you know, the Patriots have our locker room bugged, et cetera. Do you remember that?
Patriots spy on their opponents.
I mean, I've personally walked through, you know, the entrance to the field, the locker rooms, the, you know, the whole underside. And like I said, I mean, once you're there, it's just like, how the hell can they possibly bug this room? I don't know what you imagine in terms of the locker room, but the locker room is really, you know, not that nice. It's just a regular
I think that lamp is listening to us, fellas. I think that lamp over there, the shower head, is watching our meeting.
It's just a room with, like, benches and, like, you know, little cutouts. And I just don't understand, you know, where people would come up with, you know, ridiculous stuff like that. Like, oh, they've got the visitor locker room bugged and they're doing this, they're doing that. Like, it's crazy.
Tom Brady offered you $5,000 to deflate a football at halftime, would you take it?
Hell no.
you would never ever jeopardize the integrity of the game.
No. I wouldn't jeopardize the integrity of the Patriots brand.
You would say, Tom, what are you thinking? You don't need to do this.
I would just say, go out and win
this for your mom. That's what Edelman said. It worked.
Man,
We're on to Cincinnati. We're on to New Orleans.
That's where they're going next. I'll definitely call back in whenever you have another podcast.
Absolutely.
Just let me know.
Tommy P,
if you guys want coverage on the Revs tomorrow, I will be there.
Ah, Revs coverage, yeah. Rick Wish has his own podcast where they talk soccer. You can talk to Rick Wish on his soccer podcast. But Tommy P, a pleasure as always. Thank you for providing a rare glimpse inside operations of the New England Patriots. And perhaps I'll even see you in a few hours.
And you next time I'm working down there, which is tomorrow, you know, I'll try to snap a few flicks of, you know, the underside of what I was talking about.
You're flirting with disaster. You're like Edward Snowden.
Don't take any jerseys.
Be careful.
All right, Chris.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. And that is a rare glimpse inside the New England Patriots. Now, Rick Wish, it's not very often that we are given a rare glimpse inside of operations in Foxborough. What a delight it was.
That was nice, man. You got a more in-depth, you know, look inside what goes on day to day, you know, and he seems Tom Brady's like a really, really down to earth guy. Like I said, he could be a senator, a congressman, president. Let's just take some baby steps here and see what happens.
He's dreamy. But, yeah. He's downright dreamy, Rick Wish.
Well, he is dating a model, so he's like actor-ish. You know, I don't know if that's a word, but he's definitely
I don't
actor-ish.
Know what, you know, he makes, you know, not only does he make ladies swoon, but most of the characters I watch games with, blue-collar Johnny Lunchpail types, even say that they would throw themselves at Tom Brady. It's an incredible effect that Tom Brady has on
He does have I think he's like a hunk of Billy. He's got hunk ability.
He's like a hunk.
He's like a regular down to earth guy with a big mansion. That's all. I mean, he probably wipes his ass just like the rest of us. Really, I'm.
No, I have something that I was watching the game last night, and somebody, you know, they said something that was a little bit shocking to me. They said that Brady has, you know, they accused him of having some sort of extensions tied into his hair to cover up what could be a bald spot developing in the back of his head. Somebody pointed out to me that he was, you know, wearing like this weird extension in the back of his head. And he put a still frame of it, texted it over to me. And lo and behold, I think he might be onto something. And I hate to disparage Tom Brady.
Well, I mean, if he's got the money, why not? If he's got the money, he can do whatever he wants. If you look at Bryce Harper. Okay, he's got cornrows. So he can do whatever he wants. Yeah, the dude's got cornrows.
He's wears cornrows?
He's gone Afro-American. Yes, he's gone Afro-American.
Wow. That's interesting.
There's a big thing on Twitter about that one.
That people were outraged?
Oh, yeah, because he's a white guy, and he's growing cornrows.
Now, let's go to the calls. Let's go to the callers. Thank you for calling the Chris Finland Podcast. What's on your mind? Who is this?
Finland, I feel very bad for you. I've been listening to this show for about 25 minutes, and this is the worst radio you've ever produced.
Oh, yeah? Who's this? I can't even understand this.
You know who the fuck this is. Don't play dumb with me.
Who the fuck is this?
Oh,
who
man, this is... Is this the Bulldog?
Oh, the you
Bulldog
know who it is.
This is the Bulldog himself?
What?
You may have the worst co-host I've ever heard. He doesn't even know what he's saying. He puts himself on you, doesn't pay attention, butts in, talks nonsense. You got a fake guy that works for the Patriots that doesn't know his ass from his elbow. I could have done that second for you. You might as well have just done everything yourself again.
Oh, this guy's tough, man. Ouch.
This is none other than the famous Matthew Barnabas Lee, who he goes way back in radio with me, and you're calling in. I thank you for calling in, by the way. This is a dream come true to have you stuck on the airwaves with me like the old days. But you're saying that the show doesn't sound good when I try to incorporate others.
Well, you know, you're too fixated on trying to put on something that's not there. I mean, you know, you have this fake caller call in, talk about the people.
He was a real caller.
He was real.
For 2 seconds.
He was real. I'm telling you,
he's a
real
guy.
He doesn't work for the Patriots.
He works for the Patriots.
Is calling in and giving you a behind-the-scenes access because guess what? Bill wouldn't allow it. It would never happen.
Matt, what do you need?
What?
Anger management? What's wrong with you? It's my first time being a co-host. What do you need, a hug? What's wrong with you, baby? Come on. It's my first time. Give me a break.
First time and last time, I hope.
Probably is. Look, Barnaby Jones. Hey, I'm sorry. I was on my way to work. Chris calls me. I say, look, he's from fucking New York. I'm like, what, New York? I got to take this call? All right, so I take it. I'm sorry you didn't like it.
What did you think about the game last night, Barnabas?
Oh, the game was terrible. They looked very soft. They're very unprepared, and they got smacked in the mouth and didn't know how to take it.
Is that because Edelman wasn't there to help Brady, like, feel comfortable?
No, I don't think it had anything to do with Edelman. I think that it was very bad play calling. You got 2 fourth-and-inches calls. You're running up the teeth of the defense. Very good defense front seven. Not sure why we're not pitching the ball outside when we have a fast running back in Gillespie. I'm very confused, personally.
Well, they let him get it in goal line situations, but what I was alarmed about is Brady was not doing the quarterback sneaks like we've seen him do forever. So you got
to. Well, where did you want the sneak?
Well, he's 40 years old. He can't do a quarterback sneak anymore.
Well, you know, the goal line sneak.
But the first 4th-and-1, the officials closed the play down. They didn't allow him to go up and sneak it like he wanted to. So then they had to call a play. They had the eight gap covered with three guys. I mean, you're not running the ball up the middle at that point in time. So that's why the sneak was gone. Not sure why you're running a running back right up the middle with three guys. It's poor play calling. Again, Josh McDaniels proved himself being worthless. That's why he's not hired as a head coach somewhere.
You have no faith in McDaniels?
He sucks. I've been saying it for years.
This guy,
you know, I run into that guy all the time at my barber.
Oh, well, fucking, I feel bad for you. I wouldn't even want to see him.
Yeah, even my barber puts in way less effort on my haircuts. And I walk away not feeling like, that guy spent like 5 minutes and I gave him $25 and I'm not fully satisfied.
So that's your problem, Mr. Barber. I don't know what to tell you. Why don't you find
But it? Anyway, you're right. That was a aside, as they would call it in court. Now, you know, do you think that my drafting of Mike Gillisley in the sixth round will prove to be the greatest draft selection of all time in my PPR fantasy league?
Greatest draft selection? Absolutely not.
And I didn't realize what PPR means either, right? So I drafted Tom Brady with the first draft round, third overall pick. And now I see that quarterbacks are not as valuable as receivers or running backs, Barnabas.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what happens if you don't do some common research. You know, most people look up what these acronyms mean before they go ahead and do a draft.
I thought it meant like, loser buys PBR, Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Well, I mean, you are going to be the loser and probably going to be buying that since you apparently drafted the New England Patriots again this season, which unfortunately isn't going to work out well.
I won last season. Now, I was named in this league. My brother put this league together. My team is Team Arvydas Sabonis. Remember him?
Do remember him.
That's what they compare me to, this big, giant, 7'3" mutant who's held together by duct tape. That's what they called me.
Uh-huh. Well, all that.
Now, while I get you on the phone, while I'm spoiled in total nirvana here with my old Bulldog co-host from the cult classic Boston Sports Review, I want to get your take on my team that I drafted. And let me know if I should pursue trades of any of these folks or anything like that. So
all
my quarterback. Right, good. I'm glad you're willing to indulge me because I've been dying to gloat. I think it's a great team. Terrific team. Great group of guys. I've never seen a better draft. I am the best drafter on the planet. I know more than the generals. Great draft. Terrific guy. Barnabas Lee. So, ready. Brady is my quarterback. My halfback is DeMarco Murray of the Tennessee Titans. What do you think of him?
I think he's injury prone and he won't be the starter at the end of the year because they got a young emerging running back, Derrick Henry.
All right. My other halfback is Marshawn Lynch.
There's a guy who he's very lazy. He doesn't stand up for the national anthem. As commissioner, I'd kick him out of the game.
Hear, hear. I like that. I reluctantly picked him. He was available fairly late. And I said, he's the only one with name recognition that's left. He could have a good year, but I don't really expect too much out of him after taking a year off and being one of these Kaepernick types. Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Filthy traitor. Can't stand
him. I mean, the only good thing he has going for him is he's in a high-octane offense that scores points. So, I mean, if he's on the goal line, hopefully his fat ass can jump over the line. But, I mean, other than that, I don't expect too much from him.
Here's a guy that I probably this could go down as a mistake because I drafted him awfully early. But Chris Hogan is my first receiver. Mistake?
Yeah, that's absolutely terrible.
It's terrible. You don't think he's going to, eventually become one of the most trusted targets in what will become the most high-octane offense in the league?
Well, it's not going to be the most high-octane offense in the league. We gotta get that out of the picture. I mean, unfortunately, without Edelman, you know, now you're out with Malcolm Mitchell. They don't got any guys that Brady really trusts, and that's what it comes down to. Gronk looked out to lunch last night. I don't know if it's his new yoga he's doing with Brady and eating the avocado ice cream, but he's not doing what he needs to do. He needs to get open. Luckily, he did, help out Eric Berry tear his Achilles, which, is unfortunate,
Ooh.
But you know, it's okay.
Is that what the injury ended up being with the and what about Hightower? Hightower, is he he's all right or what?
Sprained ACL, he'll be okay.
Oh, they didn't look like that. Like we were also high on this team, you know, like oh, they're gonna blow people out. Cooks is gonna be unguardable. He had that great catch, you got to admit, but they looked out of sync to say the least.
Yeah, I mean it's early. I mean, you know, I didn't expect them to come in here and you know be perfect. Game one, they definitely did show glimpses of it. I think that Cook needs to work on the back shoulder, you know, ability, and Brady needs to trust him a little bit more because he didn't really give him too much opportunity, especially when he's overthrowing him by about 10 feet. So, I mean, they both got to work on it. I don't think it's either one, you know, particular fault. I think they both had their errors, but I think that, you know, if you're going to be picking a guy, Cooks will be the guy at the end of the year, not going to be Hogan.
Well, you know, you hope that Cooks racing down the sidelines and Gronk taking up the middle would have created a lot of opportunities for Hogan in a four-receiver set, assuming Mitchell is out there as well. What in the hell happened to Mitchell? All of a sudden he's injured for the year?
Well, he had a knee injury. They didn't really give too much specific. He had a nagging knee injury when he was at Georgia back in the day. So, I mean, it could be a repercussion of that. I'm not too sure. I haven't seen much on it. But, you know, hopefully, you know, kind of what you mentioned with Cooks racing down the sideline and Gronk going over the middle, most teams aren't going to play how KC plays and only rushes three and drops eight, so they should be okay. But when a team does that and can get pressure on Tom Brady with just three guys, there's a problem. So I think the number one thing that needs work this week is Mr. Skarnecki's offensive line.
Well, I couldn't say it better myself. So you're not high on the Hogan pick. You don't think that he's going to pull down some games?
I think he's going to have maybe 3 to 4 games where he is a stud. But other than that, I think he's going to be a very mediocre guy where he's averaging 3 catches a game for maybe 60 yards.
Good. Jeez. Where were you on draft night? So then I picked up Crabtree.
Crabtree. I like Mr. Crabtree quite a bit.
All right. All right. Good. I like that. So he's my other starting receiver. And then in this league, you get a third starting receiver, which I picked up seemingly off the scrap heap. I don't know if people are just staying away from the old timers, but I picked up one, Mr. Larry Fitzgerald, Barn.
Very
what do you
good
think
player. I'm high on him this season. I think he's going to have over, you know, probably 1,100 receiving yards, probably 5 touchdowns. That's a very solid pick, especially in a PPR league.
Whew. All right, now I'm feeling a little better. Then I picked up my tight end as his character, Doyle, from the Colts. I can't say I've ever heard of him.
He's decent. I mean, you need Andrew Luck to come back for him to be really effective. Anyone that's led by Scott Tolzien is going to have a horrible time fucking winning games, so...
Yeah. Who's that guy we traded to them, the quarterback? I forget his name already, the black kid there.
Oh, Brissett. Jacoby Brissett. He was traded over there. He won't see the field.
That kid's a winner, though, isn't he? He's a real winner.
Well, he went to NC State. I wouldn't call him a winner.
No, I mean, he had 5 touchdowns in his last game with us.
Again, it was preseason.
And then this is the pick that I will go down as a genius for. Let me tell you something, Mr. Christie, it's the greatest pick, and you'll have the meatloaf. This is the pick of Gillislee.
I like Gillislee a lot this year. I think he's a guy that's going to come in and replace Blunt. We saw it last night. I think he scores close to 20 touchdowns, and he's already at 3. So
3 fucking touchdowns. Unbelievable.
He needs about 1 a game.
You know, and then this goes into, like, defensive guys, right? I have Clowney, Butler, the New England defense, and then my kicker is Guskowski. So is it really a foolish idea to live and die by the Patriots, Barn?
I definitely think it's a foolish idea, especially when you're drafting Patriots defensive players, because right now they look lost. I mean, they got clowned around in the Super Bowl. They got clowned around again last night. You know, I think hopefully it's not a developing trend. But, you know, I think that, unfortunately, the defense is a little scary and needs a lot of work.
No, I've not gotten an opportunity to speak to you about the other exciting game that's about to start up. That is, of course, we're both what they call green teamers, and the Boston Celtics, the new look Boston Celtics, are soon set to take the court with Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. Tell me, Barney, how excited are you about this new team? How pumped are you?
Well, you know, I'm pretty excited that they're going to be a very good team. I expect them to win the number one seed, but it all comes down to if they can beat LeBron in the finals, the Eastern Conference Finals. Right now, gut instinct says they don't have enough to beat LeBron. That's just gut instinct. I think LeBron's the best player in the game still, and I think that's a hard timeout, you know, to beat him. We have nobody that can cover him man-to-man, and, you know, unless we're going to play him like we did back in 2008 where we let LeBron play and we just cover all the other four people because LeBron can't score 100 points on his own, I'm okay with that. But unfortunately, I don't think that Brad Stevens is going to implement that strategy. So I'm a little concerned when it comes to that time.
Well, what about Jaylen Brown? I'm expecting a huge season from this guy. He is a defensive stalwart that we've seen at times show flashes of brilliance. I think he can stay in front of LeBron and give him a real run for his money. They compare him to Kawhi Leonard Jr.
I think that he could stop him in bursts. I don't think for 48 minutes he's going to be able to stop him. You're talking about LeBron, who's 6'8", 260. He's a freak. Jaylen Brown, I mean, he's good. Don't get me wrong, but he ain't going to be able to stay in front of him.
And what about that other fella, Tatum? That guy, he can at least put up some points more consistently. I remember we would have to rely solely on Isaiah Thomas to score points. But this Tatum kid, he looks special, man. He does remind me of Pierce. That's what they all say, because he can hit these off-balance, ugly jumpers and make them look real smooth. You got to tell me you're excited about that character.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely something to be excited about. I'm interested to see how the playing time works out, though. I mean, you got to assume that, you know, the way it's going to be, obviously Kyrie's the one and Gordon Hayward's the three with Al Horford the five. So you mix in two other positions. I'm not sure how the playing time's going to work out, but I think by the end of the year, you know, Tatum's going to be a guy that's definitely on the all-rookie team. Yeah, he has a lot to work around him and no reason why he shouldn't be there.
Now, another thing, a topic I'm obsessed with is the Kyrie Irving trade. Now, go back a few weeks ago before it went down, and, you know, if you're the owner of the Cavs, why in the hell do you bail on a guy you already have under contract, knowing that you can probably force him to coexist with LeBron one more year before LeBron leaves, and then, you know, you could rebuild and you still have Kyrie Irving? Why in the hell did they actually honor his trade request and trade him to us for an uncertain lottery pick and what now appears to be damaged goods with Isaiah Thomas? What in the hell are they thinking over there?
If you're Cleveland, they made the best deal at the time. You know, LeBron's leaving at the end of next year. He already came out and said he wants to play with Westbrook. So, you know, I don't think Westbrook's going to leave OKC after what Durant did. So it's an interesting prospect of the fact
that LeBron,
you know,
said he wants to play with Westbrook?
Oh, yeah. That's on record.
Are you shitting me?
So, you know, yeah, imagine that. Paul George, Westbrook, and LeBron James in OKC, because I can see it happening.
There's no way LeBron goes to Oklahoma.
Why not?
Oklahoma's a tiny market, and why would he want to follow in Kevin Durant's footsteps? Wouldn't he just go to the Lakers? And,
in everyone else's footsteps. Why would he want to go play behind Kobe? Why not go to Chicago and play behind MJ at that point?
I think the Lakers are a little different. It's kind of like the Celtics, where they're a storied tradition and they need a revival. And that would
personally
be a big splash for them. That would be like us when we got KG.
You know, I don't understand any of these athletes. If I'm making $30 to $40 million a year, I'm moving to Florida so I don't pay state income tax. That's just personal decision. But, hey, live in Miami, I don't know what they're thinking. Yeah, you got a lot of options, and they all fucking go to these terrible markets. Like Gordon Hayward, I mean, I love him. I'm happy he's here. But if it was me, I'm going to Miami all day.
But he left Utah, so like Boston is like Miami compared to Utah.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, absolutely.
And he's white.
You know,
he's a white guy, you know. Maybe he's not comfortable in Miami, where the city is made entirely of cocaine.
Yeah, I mean, you would know that, not me.
Hey, take it easy. Now, you know, and also the Celtics, right, they have a new new center named Braun Strowman. You see this guy?
Aaron Baines?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the guy's name. Doesn't he look like Braun Strowman?
I mean, he looks similar. I don't think he's going to have the same effect.
You don't think that he'll be a good
one? He's not going to play very much.
I think I think he's going to see a bit of playing time. He'll probably get 20 minutes a game, maybe more.
Oh, not 20 minutes.
Well, think about it, man. As a fellow green teamer, there are only two big men on the team, Horford and Braun Strowman.
What about Morris?
Oh, yeah, I guess he is considered a power forward. In my head, that's only three big men. That's not enough to go on a deep season and then a playoff run. They got to add to that. I'm concerned about the size in this team.
Well, they got Yavaselli. I mean, they don't need to have size. At the end of the day, someone's going to get released, get bought out, and want to go to the Celtics because they've got a squad. They can actually win a championship. At the end of the day, no one's beaten OKC, Golden State at this time. That team's ridiculous. I don't understand how it's allowed. The commissioner doesn't let Chris Paul get traded, and then he, you know, allows this to happen where you're allowing teams to build super teams. It's just stupid.
It's terribly stupid. Now, let me ask you, what do you expect from Kyrie? Because after reading Isaiah Thomas's letter that he wrote in the Players Tribune, I said, wow, this guy really, he got it. He understood it. He understood what he almost was able to build here in Boston. 1 year of brilliance. He was talking like Tom Brady, the great recruiter, the motivator. Nobody hyped the Celtics better than Isaiah Thomas. He bled green, and he liked it here in Boston. He loved it. He thrived here, and it was very tough to hear him talk about fondly about Boston because we never hear that. We're always getting trashed as a racist city or this and that. And IT really got it. The fans loved him. So easy to root for. He carried us on his little shoulders all last season. And we traded up for the prettier girl at the dance, Barney. We traded up for the prettier girl at the dance. And by comparison, Kyrie Irving already seems kind of like a diva, you know, just from what we know of him in comparison to Isaiah Lunchpail Thomas, who came in and did all the right things. Do you have any opinions on what we can expect from Kyrie? Do you think he's going to be a Boston guy at the end of the day?
Absolutely. I think you trade up 100 out of 100 times for Kyrie Irving. He's a guy that's going to come out. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's tired of playing LeBron's shadow. He's going to come out. He's going to be the MVP this season. And I expect big, big things from him.
Now, when I heard of it, the trade, I said, that is too good to be true. There's no fucking way. Because when I watch Kyrie, and I've said it before, I always say the same story. Every time I talk hoops, usually with the black kids at work, they will tell me that I'm out of my mind. But they'll say, it's Russell Westbrook, dog. But I say the best point guard in the league, best pure point guard by far, on paper, with potential and everything else considered, is Kyrie Irving. He can shoot. He can finish at the line. He's got the Duke pedigree, number one overall pick, NBA champion, Olympic gold medalist. Like you said, this guy is an MVP in the making, and he hates LeBron. So he could go down perhaps as maybe one of the all-time greats in green, Barney, or am I getting ahead of myself?
Well, you know, I don't think you're getting ahead of yourself. I think it's definitely possible. I think he has to show a little bit more than just put the uniform on. He has to actually lace up the shoes to do something. But I do think he has definitely a good possibility of being the guy. He's proved it time and time again. He barely played at Duke. The number one overall pick. He was very good with Cleveland before LeBron. LeBron comes in and he still performs. He's a guy that can take over games and win games by himself. So, you know, add in a few guys that can actually score and shoot the ball with Gordon Hayward and Al Horford, I expect big things from him. I expect him to lead Boston to the promised land.
Now, indulge me, if you may, for a moment as we review what we know about who we will put on the court this season. Starting point guard, Kyrie Irving. Danny Ainge is saying he expects him to have more assists here in Boston. That's probably an open challenge for him to be a leader and a distributor and get all of his teammates involved in a very high-paced offense that gets all touches all around because everyone will be talented. He will also be expected to be our finisher, our closer, an average maybe in the Isaiah Thomas range last year of 30 points a game, maybe 8 assists, 4 or 5 rebounds. What's your take?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I said he's going to be MVP. He's going to have to average at least 29 a game to be MVP this season.
Starting two guard. In my opinion, the starting two guard will be the Bulldog, Marcus Smart. He's a guy who has the same nickname as you, the Bulldog. And I think that, you know, he, when IT went down, he had that 30-point explosion while facing Kyrie Irving directly. Danny Ainge obviously sees a lot in him, as we saw Avery Bradley shipped out in a sign that this is Marcus Smart's team. You know, he is someone who has that tough guy intensity that we lack. He's willing to punch you in the nose where some of these other guys were choir boys last year. I envision him holding down the starting two-guard role and creating that defensive presence that they really needed and they thrived on last season. Do you think Smart holds down the starting two, or where do you think he fits into the lineup?
Yeah, he's definitely your starting two, at least to start the season. There's really no one else to go into that spot. I mean, it kind of has to be him.
And then starting three, the starting small forward this year will be Jaylen Brown, the man they invested a number three overall pick in, a man whose shooting from the perimeter has improved, particularly from the corners, someone who is a defensive presence. A lot of people now touting him as some sort of Kawhi Leonard Jr. with a very high ceiling. He will be your starting small forward. You said that you do expect a better season from him, but maybe we should calm down expecting too much.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even expect him to start. I mean, Brad Stevens showed us time and time again where he went with Amir Johnson and Al Horford is the 4 and 5. So, I mean, my eyes, I think Morris will be your 4 and Horford will be your 5, and that puts Hayward in at 3. You're not paying him $20 million, $25 million a year to sit on the pine.
Well, that's where I come in with this one, that Hayward will now be in a new and evolved NBA where we thrive more on small ball and shooting prowess. I think Gordon Hayward's going to see some time at power forward. He's 6'8". He's taller than Jaylen Brown. And I think that he can play the 2, the 3, and the 4. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see Hayward seeing minutes at the 4 because he's not a bad rebounder. And that's where we sucked last year, even with guys like Amir Johnson in. And then what do you think of that?
You're going to see him in the bucket of Jaylen Brown on the court a lot with him, where Hayward plays the 4. I just think if you're speaking traditional starting lineup, Brad Stevens is going to go out with 3-4-5 of Hayward, Morris, and Horford. But I do agree with you. When it comes down to minutes, I think Jaylen Brown gets the most minutes at the 3 spot. It depends on what you're looking at. Unfortunately, the NBA is so built up on starting guys that play 15 minutes a game like Amir Johnson and do absolute dog shit. So, I mean, that's kind of what I expect from Morris and I tend to agree with you. I think that Jaylen Brown and Hayward are going to have to be, a strong, 3-4 combo.
Well, and then I see, obviously, Horford, your starting center. And then I see Tatum coming in as your sixth man. I think he's going to give you 20, 24 minutes a game and have the green light to shoot when he's in, that microwave off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, to start the year, he may not be that guy, but to end the year, I think absolutely he needs to grow up and be the guy. I think they drafted him. They were very high on him. They would have drafted him number one. They stole a pick from the 76ers.
Absolutely stole it, and it made it easier to trade for Kyrie because we still have a shit ton of picks.
Absolutely, and I mean, it was a no-brainer, the Kyrie trade, going back to it. I mean, you're getting a guy that's an MVP candidate every year, and he's a guy that's going to be in the All-Star game every year. And
you're running into people. I've been running into so many people who are angry at this trade. They're disappointed because they had an emotional attachment to Isaiah Thomas. Have you been running into a lot of that? Because as Bostonians, aren't we trained at the gospel of Bill Belichick that every player is disposable, especially when you weigh their contract demands and long-term potential? Are you running into anyone who is attached to IT? I mean, they are still against the trade, and I think they're knuckleheads.
Well, a lot of people are against it, and, I think it's going to take some time for them to realize that it was the better trade. I think when Isaiah can't suit up come the end of October, and and Kyrie's putting up 30 a game, you're going to see a lot of people change their tune. But, I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, they should be trained. I mean, you see it with pretty much every organization. The only organization that holds on to players too long seems to be the Boston Bruins. They like to have the Tin Man out there on the ice when he absolutely sucks.
Who's the Tin Man? Is that Chara?
Absolutely.
So are Bruins fans turning against Chara? Like, last time I watched a Bruins game, he was like the big free agent acquisition. Now they don't like him?
Well, I mean, I'm a Bruins fan. I think he's garbage. I think that he needs to go to a team like Ottawa or Pittsburgh and play 12 to 15 minutes of ice time a game, and he would thrive. But, you know, being in Boston, trying to play 20, 23 minutes of ice, he can't do it night in and night out. And it's causing big problems and holes in the defense where it's at him, and he can't stop every stage, you know, every, you know, shot. And it's making them look bad. They're going to be a bad team this year. There's diehard Bruins fans in the city, and they're going to be very disappointed at the end of the year.
Well, yeah, I mean, they, you know, the Claude Julien era is over. I don't even know who their coach is now. I'm a casual fan. Peter Cassidy?
He's a good coach. I like him a lot. I just think he's inherited a very unfortunate situation. Chiarelli,
but they still have
a horrible contract signing, and Sweeney's just doing more of the same.
Well, they signed that kid from Dorchester, I remember, and everyone was excited. But then he sucked, right? Like, the kid from Dorchester sucks?
Well, yeah, I mean, does that surprise you?
Well, it worked for Mark Wahlberg, Barney.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, occasionally something good comes out of Dorchester.
No, I guess so. And I know you've been on the horn with me for a long time. I want to thank you for that. Matthew Barnabas Lee joining me, my old co-host from Boston Sports Review. Now, before I let you get on with your day, I want to look at the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I want to break them down just a little bit because I don't think they're – I think it's going to be an exhausting season for LeBron because he has no IT – right? IT is going to be hurt till God knows when. And then around him, like, the second best player on the team is Kevin Love and J.R. Smith and, like, old dudes like Derrick Rose and Darren Williams and Kyle Korver. Like, that's like the old guys team at Thursday Night Men's League Ball, who has, like, the one good black guy in the league. And they just, you know, it's still a long stretch of season with old aching bones, right? What do you think?
I think they'll still win 50 games. I think it's very early. I think they got assets to trade. I think at the end of the day, I wouldn't be surprised if you see them move on from Kevin Love this year. I think
they've been dangling
him
to anyone. Nobody wants him. Nobody wants Kevin Love.
If you dangle Kevin Love in the first overall pick, I think you're going to find something. And I think that if you're them, you have to do it. You need to find a way to keep somebody, get somebody in there to entice LeBron to re-sign.
Is it Carmelo Anthony?
Can't deal with it. No, he's terrible. I mean, if you bring Carmelo in, you might as well just tell LeBron here's the door. Because LeBron isn't staying for that fool.
They could always bring Dwayne Wade in if he were to get bought out by the Bulls.
Yeah, well, that'd be another bad option, too. I mean, yeah, their buddy's off the court. But, again, he's not a guy that can, you know, maintain the caliber of play that's necessary to keep LeBron in. Think about it. He's probably leaving if Kyrie's still there. So,
yeah, I mean, I just think they're going to have a very difficult season. I think it's going to be exhausting for the old chap.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, I think that, you know, you got to look at teams like OKC, I keep saying it, but Golden State, a team that has four stars, you know, that they're not going to be able to re-sign them all. Maybe they go out and they send that first pick and Kevin Love for Tristan Thompson, something that, you know, you're probably not thinking of, and it is over the top, but it is something that Golden State needs to start looking at to do to save some salary cap. And, you know, if I'm Cleveland, I jump at that all day. It's an intriguing guard that could potentially keep LeBron in town, and if not, at least you have a star.
Well, it is going to be a very interesting NBA season. The Golden State Warriors, 1 year older. The Cleveland Cavaliers, 10 years older. The Boston Celtics will be a juggernaut, barring any catastrophic injuries. But Danny Ainge proving once again that he is a genius, Barney.
Yeah, I mean. mean, he keeps proving himself time in and time out. I mean, he did it in the summer of 2007. He does it 10 years later in the summer of 2017. I really hope, though, that in 5 years from now, when this team, you know, begins to slow down, that he doesn't have to wait five more years to pull the trigger. Because I won't lie, the last 5 years of knowing we have no shot have been torturous.
Was it as torturous as the first half hour of the show?
It might have been worse than the first half hour of the show, but the first half hour of the show was absolute garbage.
You know, the guy
who
called it,
you had, but you just need to fire him. Just fire him.
Well, I'm tinkering with new ideas.
Well, tinker with some new ideas and at least get Freddy Boy on the show. He at least brings something.
Wow, an endorsement for Freddy Boy. Wow, he'll be so happy to hear that. I had Mr. Doherty on the other day. I had Mr. King on the other day in what ended up being the highest-rated podcast ever with listenership of 52.
52, huh? Wow.
But what I realized, Barney, is as I get older and I suffer from strokes, that I may very soon lose my ability to verbalize, and it's very important to get my thoughts on tape for future generations.
Oh, that's scary, because the future generations do not need to learn from you.
Well, you turned out all right.
Yeah, well, I was already, you know, well and grounded in my past before I met you.
Yeah, you were already well on your way. That's true. Well, I got to tell you, you know, years ago we did a show, and it was some of the best years of my life. Matthew Barnabas Lee, the famous Barney. Thank you. Have you had enough? Do you want to get on with your day?
I do need to get on with my day. I'm actually heading out to Fenway in a little bit, so I do appreciate everything. You know, that's the one team you didn't touch on. Don't expect much from them. It's the Indians here again, and that's about it.
Well, what about these cheating allegations, though? Like, are they really the only ones who ever thought of cheating with a Mac watch or whatever those things are called? Like with a spy watch?
It's funny because, you know, the Red Sox accused the Yankees as well, and no one's talking about that. They're just fixated on Boston, and a lot of that does come from Spygate and the Patriots. But, you know, it's quite intriguing. I'm interested to see what Manfred comes out, the commissioner of the Major League Baseball. He did say that he's under investigation on both sides, and I think that you're going to find out that there's a lot of teams that have been cheating, per se. I think they're just playing smart, but, you know, that's just me.
Hey, in New York media, I read a thing in the Post. They said the cheating is nothing new for Boston. That, you know, our motto here, they have integrity in New York, but our motto is, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. I mean, you got to always bend the rules a little bit.
I remember even when you were a famous slugger for a double-A minor league club out in Trenton, you would use pine tar.
Yeah, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But listen, I'm about to walk into a store. I'm going to need to let you go.
Well, enjoy the game tonight, Matthew Barnabas Lee. Thank you very much for joining me. You know I love you, Barney, and I really appreciate the call.
Oh, yes. No problem, sir. Goodbye.
I love you, Barney. Well, there he goes, Matthew Barnabas Lee. I got to say, that kid, he is great. You know, I love that kid, Matthew Barnabas Lee, one of my old co-hosts. Back in the day, we had a famous podcast called the Boston Sports Review, and many participants on that show actually went on to do great things. Of course, Adam Frederick went on to work for Howard Stern, and even Steve Bannon for a time over at Sirius. Coley, who was a producer, went on to work, of course, for Barstool Sports. You can see him in many of those sophomoric, immature videos they do. Greg Runge, a producer of the program, ended up heading up a charitable organization down in Florida. Matthew Barnabas Lee, a big-time stock investor, financial tycoon. Little Brian Doherty, a famous blogger and Boston sports pundit. Of course, myself, I went on to have a mini-stroke, and the star of the Boston Sports Review, the legendary Bradford Crone, can now be seen down in a local Weather Channel affiliate in Georgia. So, you know, we had some great times on that show, and, you know, we were It was the ultimate male camaraderie at the time. You know, we would do the show twice a week, gather around, have beers, take jaunts into the city. Oh, how I wax nostalgic about such simpler times. Before I was under house arrest. Well, in any event, I mentioned Bradford Crone, famous weatherman from my old show. You may not know him, but I got to take a break here, you know. We've been going an hour and 6 minutes through what some have said was the worst half hour ever to start off with, but I disagree. I think it was some great insight from a Patriots insider. Sure, he didn't say anything outrageous or over the top, but, you know, we got some insight on operations in Fox. And Rick Wish, funny guy, you know, good guy, he can think on his feet. So I thought the first half hour was strong. I want to thank Matthew Barnabas Lee, of course, for the great sports insight. Rick Wish for calling in. And, of course, Mr. Tommy P., the anonymous Patriots insider, who, as he learns anything out of Foxborough, will be certain to leak it here on the Chris Finland podcast. Well, everybody, that's about all I got going for today. I could get into some racism on Facebook, but quite frankly, I don't know if I have the energy, you know. A lot of people saying that Donald Trump is a bad guy. I think he's a great guy, you know. We could talk about that. Or, you know, but I don't think I really want to talk about all that stuff today. You know, I gotta get out and start my day, you know. I gotta do shit, you know. For instance, I've been fighting off diarrhea for the last hour after drinking 3 damn cups of Dark Magic coffee. So I'm going to leave you with a rap from my old meteorologist. His name is Bradford Crone. The call from Matthew Barnabas Lee got me nostalgic for the good old days. Adam Frederick, if you're listening, Matthew Barnabas Lee wants to hear a reunion show with me and you. But I will leave you with a man who was my meteorologist for many years, starting in WNRI down in Rhode Island. Of course, moving up north, WBNW out of Needham, and all of the affiliates across New England in syndication, as well as the ultimate podcast, the Boston Sports Radio Review, heard on unregular radio, the Boston Sports Review. Great times, great people, terrific guys. I will leave you with a rap from him. He is now a famous meteorologist in Georgia. He's going to be very busy with this hurricane, and I'm not sure he wants any of his listeners to hear this, Rourke, but I'll leave you with a famous rap from the glory days from our chief meteorologist, Brad Crone. Thank you, everybody, for listening. It was a lot of fun, and we'll see you next time.
All right.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Go, Boston Sports Review. Brad Crone, Jamie Bradford, Dan Warfield. Let's get it done.
Yo, the name is Brad Crone. I am the weatherman. So peep my knowledge when I rock this jam. The road to this road to the island is where I'm from. I'm the guy on the mind of your girl as she comes. So on tonight's show, the Medway boys will reform. And that makes my German steel much bigger than norm. My Lord Führer Chris Finland will lead the charge. Women say my hammer's the size of a barge. The gorgeous Tara Hayward is with us too. She never writes on her blog, but about the
Sports Review.
So listen up, honey. Cruz, I'm going to speak straight. Put up some more blogs, and I might take you on a date. I take my ladies to North Bowl, where I'm the king of the lanes. And I always seal the deal. Cruz, my skills are insane. And like the 6'10", I get the girls to split quick. But that's par for the course when you got a big dick. So let me close the wrap with a bit of a forecast. Tonight's show will be better than any lame sports blast. We got the dream team back together, but just for one night. Cruz, my cock is as thick as a can of Sprite.
Wow.
Fuck yeah. Oh.
All right.
All right, let's do this. Brad Crone.
Rap number 2.
One, two, three to the four. My name is Brad Crone. I'm bringing you four. My sultry smooth voice makes the ladies relax. Keep your eyes on the bulge at the front of my slacks. I keep most of my bitches high on PSP. Make predicting weather as easy as one, two, three. I'm Brad Crone, man, with a Brad Crone plan. Gonna put some sports news in my fly jam. Theo Epstein isn't fired? Are you kidding me? I don't give a fuck about a Harvard degree. Tito took the load of blame in the face like a main lady. Pardon me, I shouldn't reveal intimate details. On second thought, I'm packing more heat than a whale. And right after I get done freeing my big willy, I pat that trick on the butt. And it is on to the next bitty. Weather Channel wants my shit. I got the email. So come on, Chip Summers, give me the details. Till then, I'm on the BSR every Monday night. Spooky World sells my cock most because it gives girls fright. So sit back, relax, and enjoy Weather Center PM. Hey, Dan, pass the stiff. I want to hit it again.